y'all. You're listening to In the Corner, Back by the Woodpile.
While I was a teacher in China, I was also independently learning up on aspects of Chinese history and philosophy, and because of that, ended up hanging out with some Taoist scholars. A lot of my private Chinese students were fascinated by this occurrence, since all of them, both young and middle-aged Chinese, had been born after the communist takeover. They knew very little about Taoism themselves. And so I ended up teaching to them what little I knew. And so one of my adoptive little sisters named Megan decided to record one of our studies. I find it ironic that I'm not Chinese, but I'm telling you about the Tao. Why is that, Megan?
I'm so idiot.
No.
Yeah.
Megan is actually quite clever. But I want to ask you first before we talk about it.
Okay.
How come nobody in China knows much about the Tao, especially your generation?
Now in China, as our generation, all pursue about money, house, and car. Nobody will care about your mental spirit and the other good thing and the deep heart, warm things. All the society I lived on the surface of the life, not in the deep heart.
Okay, thank you for answering that question.
Okay.
Okay, so this is from what I understand from a poor foreign guy who's trying to bump around blindly in China and learn some things. There was a guy named Lao Tzu,
okay,
which means old teacher. Mm-hmm. His family name was Li. He had long ears, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's Liar.
Oh.
So this old man was riding on an ox, and he was leaving Henan, and he was going through a certain pass.
Lingbao.
And there is a big gate there that if you wanted to come in or out of Henan, you had to go through this gate, and it was well guarded. And the guard asked this old man, said, "Hey, why are you leaving Henan?" And he said, "I've heard this told different ways, by the way, so I'll tell you the one way that is my favorite way to tell." And so he thought society had gone wrong and had forgotten the way to live, which is what Tao means, the way. So he said he was leaving, had enough. And the guard said, "Well, before I let you go, you need to write down why society has went wrong and what do they need to do to correct it." And I'm saying all this paraphrase. And so the old man came back a day or so later and gave the guard a scroll, and it was called the Tao Te Ching. So Megan, how would you translate Tao Te Ching?
The moral scriptures.
And so the old man left the scroll and he went off on his ox, rode away, somewhere west, and we don't know where he went to. He just disappeared, and that was that. And there's lots of legends about what happened to him. Some people think he went to India, but nobody knows. And that little book has become one of the most printed books in the world. The Bible and the Tao Te Ching, and there's a few other books that you can find in almost every country, and very influential. And then later on, a couple other guys, Li Yizi and Zhuangzi, also had some writings, and they were of the similar thought. So there you go. That's the history of the Tao.
And I am the Chinese and learned a lesson from the foreigner. My mom and dad's generation, they do not know a lot.
Well, and your mom and dad's generation, they were born after 1949, right?
Yeah.
Well,
they were born probably as a Cultural Revolution.
Yeah, well, that was way, you know, but Mao Zedong had banned most religion and non-communist thought. So the Tao especially was illegal. So this, how could they know, you know, unless maybe their family told them. So.
But these days then, I have watched one news about this. And you know, the old history research side, in the foreign times, the education organization should change the way of the primary school's subjects. Then more and more subjects just like Tao Te Ching, all these great will be learned from the later generation now?
I don't know if they ever will. One problem with at least the Tao Te Ching is that it's very political.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Tao Te Ching, in many people's opinion, is part personal
mm-hmm.
and social
mm-hmm.
and part political. So mm-hmm. it can cause problems because if somebody used the Tao Te Ching and used the criticisms of people in power, even though it was in ancient times when it was written, they could say the same thing about the government in America or China or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I think that's another reason why it will never be taught in Chinese schools as it is. So
maybe you are.
Oh, and it's important to remember that in Taoism, there is really two different kinds of Tao. There is the Tao Jia, which is Laozi, Lizi, and
yeah.
Zhuangzi. And then there's this other branch, which is, for example, the Feng Shui,
yeah.
and Yi Jing, and
yeah.
Tai Chi, and Yin Yang. They're certainly related, but they aren't quite the same thing.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about the Tao Jia, and not about how you should rearrange your sofa, or I'm not going to try to tell your future, all of these things that are related with the other kind of Tao.
Yeah.
All right?
Now we're going to read some Taoist codes. Okay. We put 30 spokes together and call it a wheel. But it is on the space where there is nothing that the usefulness of the wheel depends. We turn clay to make a vessel, but it is on the space where there is nothing that the usefulness of the vessel depends. We pierce doors and windows to make a house, and it is on these spaces where there is nothing that the usefulness of the house depends. Therefore, just as we take advantage of what is, we should recognize the usefulness of what is not.
Mm.
Confusing more.
You understand?
No.
The great Tao is like a boat that drifts. It can go this way, it can go that. The 10,000 creatures owe their existence to it, and it does not disown them. Yet having preceded them, it does not take possession of them. Tao, though it covers the 10,000 things like a garment, makes no claim to be the master over them, and asks for nothing from them. Therefore, it may be called the lowly, and 10,000 creatures obey it, though they know not that they have a master. Therefore, it is called great. So too, the wise man, just because he never at any time makes a show of greatness, in fact, achieves greatness.
Mine indeed, the man of a very idiot. So long am I.
我同意。
我鄙视你。
你放屁。
欺负人！你看你这外面美国人，就欺负中国人。
But that means you're a wise girl. You're wise because you know you're a dummy. To paraphrase one of my friends, I'm wiser because I know you're a dummy.
The world is full of people that shine. I alone am dark. They look lively and self-assured. I alone depressed. I seem unsettled as an ocean. Blow adrift, never brought to a stop. All men can be put to some use. I alone am in checked boy and bush. But I most am different from men. Yes, that's true. Is that a prize? No substance that comes not from the mother's breast.
Yeah. Mama de Mimi.
A frog which lives in a well cannot discuss the dimensions of heaven and earth because its universe is bounded by the size of the well.
The more prohibitions there are, the poorer the people become. The more sharp weapons there are, the greater the chaos in the state. The more skills of technique, the more cunning things are produced. The greater the number of laws, the greater number of thieves. Therefore, the wise man says, I am nothing, and the people are reformed of themselves. I love quietude, and the people are righteous of themselves. I deal in no business, and the people grow rich by themselves. I have no desires, and the people are simple and honest by themselves.
Mediocre governors put on a show of power and wealth by enforcing strict discipline on the people and taxing grain from them. But this is just a hollow posturing. A person who believes a one-sided story or heresy ends up bigoted and limited in imagination. Bigotry and limitation will always lead people astray. Such a person knows only the East, but not the West. He watches only the South, but not the North. This is from Qu Yu, Master Lu's Spring and Autumn Annals. The difference between a mediocre person and a person of genius is that the latter can think back 1,000 years and think ahead 1,000 years. This also comes from Master Lu's Spring and Autumn Annals.
Okay, Megan, I want a story from you.
Can I say one thing? A quote from Dao De Jing. Sai Wong Shi Ma, Yan Zhi Fei Fu. Means, okay, if you have some disadvantages, first you think this is a bad ways to be showed by other people, but sometimes you can use your disadvantages to be your advantages to save the other things which is more important than this. He has a handicapped guy. Even though he is deformed, he could wash people's clothes and tell people fortunes and made a lot of money from this. Because in China, the people think handicapped people can tell the future. When there was a war, all the healthy young men were taken out for the war, and most of them dead. But the handicapped man the government didn't take, and he lived alone and had a rich life. So now, Spunker.
Oh man, you forgot my name.
So now, Spunker, it's your turn.
Okay. Lao Tzu tells a story about an old man named Han, who was a pretty poor farmer, and he lost a donkey, it ran away or something. And so he was so sad, oh, I'm going to be poor. And then one of the wise men said, hey, you know, you never know, your luck could change. It's just like the weather. If you have a rainy day, wait till tomorrow, it might be sunny. Okay. So, and sure enough, some days later, the donkey returns, but returns with a girlfriend, and the girlfriend is pregnant. So the farmer's like, yay, my fortune has changed. Not only, now I have three donkeys, as before I only had one. But the original owner of the girlfriend donkey shows up and said, that's my donkey, and the baby inside is mine also. And the farmer argues, no, it takes two to do you know what. And they argued about it, and they had to go to the local government, and the local government sided for the woman and said also that Han had to go to jail. So now he's really screwed, can't work in jail, and his family was sad, and they asked the wise man, what are we going to do? And they said, wait around, something might change. And when he came out, come to find out, one of the other prisoners knew acupuncture. He had been a doctor. And they were so bored in the prison that he taught him acupuncture. And sometime later, the village got hit by a plague. Everybody had this terrible disease, and Han saved everybody's life with acupuncture, and he became very, very rich and very well liked. So there you go.
Yeah.
Just wait around.
So, Mr. Swan, would you please tell me a good story?
I will try.
Try your best.
You want me to speak in my dialect?
Okay. If you speak dialect with Chinese, that would be great.
Ni hao, ni hao ma?
我不好。
我喜欢中国。可爱，可爱。So, Zhuangzi He mostly lived out in the woods and really didn't do much of anything except think and spend time with nature and eventually write. But because he got married to Yang Yu, which we talked about before, mm-hmm. he had to get a job. Mm. So he was always offered jobs of high position, but he always turned them down because he didn't really care for power. Mm-hmm. So finally, he got offered a job at a plantation, we say, which is like a big farm, mm-hmm. and they made lacquer. Mm-hmm. And so he took the job. And when he got there, the place was a mess. The people that worked there, their fathers had worked there, their mm-hmm. grandfathers had worked mm-hmm. there, and many of them were slaves. Mm-hmm. So they had been abused pretty badly. There was one old man who was trying to carry these big buckets of lacquer, and he was too weak because he was too old, and his body was covered by scars from the whip. Mm-hmm. And Zhuangzi asked about his history, and he had been there since basically his grandfather had been born there. Mm-hmm. So Zhuangzi gave him a job in the office where he did some counting, and he was very good at it, in fact, and much more efficient. And Yang Yu felt sorry for him because he only had rags for clothes, so she made him some clothes. And the workers couldn't understand why a boss would be kind, and especially why the wife of the boss would also be kind. So another day, one of Zhuangzi's friends said, "Hey, there's one of your guards has beaten a worker." Mm-hmm. He got there and the guard was whipping a poor guy. And Zhuangzi said, "Why are you doing this for?" He said, "He's a lazy egg. He's mm-hmm. lan dan. Mm-hmm. We got it to beat workers if you want them to be productive." Mm-hmm. And so Zhuangzi asked the guy, why was he being lazy? Mm-hmm. He said, "I have la duzi. Mm-hmm. I had diarrhea and mm-hmm. I'm so sick I can barely work." Mm-hmm. And Zhuangzi said, "Show me the evidence." Mm-hmm. Because the guard said, he's lying. Mm-hmm. So they went behind a bush. And there was a big pile of you-know-what for the evidence. So Zhuangzi gave the whip to the worker and said, "Now you beat this guard, he deserves it." Mm-hmm. And the man refused to do it. But Zhuangzi fired the guard. Mm-hmm. So long story short, after Zhuangzi was in charge of the plantation, mm-hmm. Everybody became happy and enjoyed their work. And so they actually became more productive and they actually made more money. The whole place made more money than they ever had. So it's a lesson about how you manage people. Your boss could learn from this.
My boss, yeah. You really think so? About 50, nearly 60 years old. It can be changed so easily just by transition. Mm. And I bought a book to him and said, "Okay, just look at it and learn from that. He will change."
No, I'm just saying he could learn a lesson from this if he wasn't so close-minded and so arrogant. But, the people who are arrogant have to fall. They have to lose everything before they listen.
Yes,
so,
right.
So, and he may. Like you said, many of your coworkers, a few are quitting during Spring Festival, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he fired his best worker, the guy that helped him build the factory, because he's jealous. He's going to lose you. He doesn't know it yet, but he will. And he will fall.
Yesterday evening when I got home, I just read the book about Zhuangzi saying, so I found Zhuangzi just said, "Ren ai, treat others, just want to be treated." Mm. Just you said, since Zhuangzi becomes the boss of that planet, all the slaves are becomes happy and more productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the same, just like he said in the books. Mm. He taught the king of that Liang to be good, to love his people, just like love himself, mm. to try to keep every people happy. If every people happy, then more productive, just like his achievement. So it's the same.
Okay, Megan, I want to know something about your hometown, Jiyuan.
Yes.
There's a very famous story there, and Li Zi. It's an old story, but he uses the story mm-hmm. to make a point. So tell us.
Yu Gong Yi Shan is the name of this story.
Okay.
So here has two mountains. One is Wang Wu Mountain and the other is Taihang. But now Wang Wu Mountain is in Jiyuan City and the other Taihang is in Jiaozuo, because Jiyuan was belonged to Jiaozuo and departed in 1997. So now Wang Wu Mountain just belongs to Jiyuan. Okay. So the story is about, he has one old man, They are 90 years old. And his house just faced on the big mountain called Wangwu. He is a little smart. He said, okay, I just want to see some fresh society at the back of the mountain. So I want to get the new information, which is different with here.
So they were isolated? I mean, because of the mountain, they couldn't get out?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So this man just want to get out of here to go to the outside to get the information. But his wife said, this is a mountain, not the pass. How you can just get it apart to have the straight way to get outside? And so old man said, okay, I will try from here and then I will do my best, use my last life to move this mountain to the other side so the way can become out. And his wife said, how long you stay alive?
Yeah.
And this old man said, no matter how old I am, then I just do it with my hand. If I cannot move this mountain out, then my next generation will do it again. And if my next generation cannot, and the generation next, and next, blah, blah, blah.
So all his grandchildren.
Yeah, all his grandchildren will do this job until this mountain to be apartheid, to have a path.
Yeah, are you one of his grandchildren?
No. You know the tour? Uh-huh. He just use the hole, use the hand to get it. It's not very clever. I will use a check.
Okay. So today there is a path, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you've been on the path?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why Jiyuan come from.
So that's how you came here.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. So this story is about what?
It teaches this generation side, okay, if you have the goal and you really want to do it, you should do it no matter how long it will take you, and just do it. If you cannot do it, then your friend will help you on to complete this goal.
Good. Persistence.
Now we're going to find some similar Taoist ideas in the West.
Okay. I'll read from the Tao Te Ching, and this is from chapter 71. To know when one does not know is best. To think one knows when one does not know is a dire disease. Okay, Megan, can you give us some quotes from the West? And don't tell me who it is, okay?
Okay. One thing only I know, and that is that I know nothing.
Are you speaking from your heart?
Yes, I really did.
Me too. Okay. Another one?
True wisdom comes to each of us when we realize how little we understand about life, ourselves, and the world around us.
Okay, good. I'll read another from the Tao Te Ching. And you at home, can any of you guess who is that guy from the West? Okay. Here's from the Tao Te Ching 23.
Mm-hmm.
To always be talking is against nature. Megan, somebody from the West. Same guy.
Nature has given us 2 ears, 2 eyes, but 1 tongue, so that we should hear and see more than we speak.
Okay. This is from the Tao Te Ching 33. To be content with what one has is to be rich.
He who is not content with what he has will not be content with what he would like to have.
Okay. Another?
He is rich who is content with the least, for contentment is the wealth of nature.
Okay. Now this is from Zhuangzi. If you put in a good word for another person to show respect for his feelings without telling right from wrong, it's called submission.
You think those who praise all your words and actions are faithful to you, but it is those who kindly reprove your faults who are the true faithful.
Okay, so Megan, who is a mystery person from the West?
Sugladi.
In English, we say Socrates.
Okay.
Okay, let's do another thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is from, actually, this is the very beginning of the Tao Te Ching. The Tao was the beginning of heaven and earth. It was named the mother of all creatures.
In the beginning was the way, and the way was with God, and the way was God. All things were made through it, and without it, not anything made. In it was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
This is from the Tao Te Ching, 81. The wise man has no need to hoard. When his last scrap has been given to others, the wise man has more than he had before.
Do not collect treasures on the earth, where moth and rust will destroy it, and thieves will steal. But build treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves cannot steal.
From the Tao Te Ching 20. Banish learning, and there will be no more grieving.
In much wisdom, there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain.
And this is from a Taoist miscellany. Because of jealousy, the people of Chu were stealing the better fruit of the Liang. Mm-hmm. Instead of revenge, the Liang secretly worked at night to improve the fruit of the Chu. When the Chu realized what their neighbors were doing, a long period of peace and friendship began between the two states.
If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Okay, and so where were the mystery quotes from?
The Bible.
So I built a fortress to shield me from the pain.
Hi, it's my current guy.
Hi.
So say a story about Tao.
Okay, I'll tell you a story from Zhuangzi.
Okay.
Okay. One day Zhuangzi was walking in the snow. He was going home and the snow was very, very heavy. And he tripped over something and he fell down. And then when he looked, it was a body, and it was a young girl and an old woman. And they both had bowls and like sticks in their hands, so it looked like they were beggars. Mm-hmm. And so he tried to help up the two, and the old woman was dead, but the young girl was barely alive. So he took her back to his home, and his mother put the girl in bed. So his mother tried to nurse her back to health, we say. Mm-hmm. So after some time, the girl recovered and she began to help out around the house, and she used to flutter like a butterfly and used to have a very great laugh that Zhuangzi thought was like music. And the mother was very happy also to have a young girl in the house because she didn't have a daughter, I think. And they found out later that this girl, Yan Yu, mm-hmm. and her mother had lost everything. Yan Yu's father had been taken away by the local king to go fight in a war, and he had been killed. And later, the local government was very greedy, and they taxed them to death, their farm, and they lost everything eventually because they couldn't pay the taxes. So they became beggars. And then, of course, Yan Yu's mother died in the snow. So they took her in, and she lived at the house for a while. And one day, Zhuangzi and Yan Yu were walking on the mountain. It's Mount Mengshan. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mengshan.
Thank you. What a fine buhao.
Okay, I agree.
And one of them went to pick a flower. I don't remember which. Mm-hmm. And one fell, mm-hmm. and the other went to catch them. Mm-hmm. And they rolled down the hill together. Mm-hmm. And when they reached the bottom, they didn't get up. They just stayed there in each other's arms. Mm. And
use your brain to think what will happen next time.
Yeah. When I told the story in my classes, the girls loved the story.
That's good.
Before I started the story, they cared nothing about Zhuangzi. At the end, Zhuangzi is so dreamy.
That's so romantic. All these love scenes happen all unexpected.
That's okay. So they looked up also up in the tree and they saw two birds making a nest. And
they knew.
So they knew they should
so
be together.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so they made a home together.
And Zhuang just there?
Not on the hill, but they went home. They went home and got married and had some fun that night.
Uh-huh.
And and they made a little boy.
Oh.
That's true. Now, they were very, very poor, Yang Yu and Zhuangzi and his mother. And because you know, Zhuangzi was a thinker, a philosopher, mm-hmm. and they didn't make much money back then, and they still don't. Look around you. So they made shoes uh-huh. for a living. And not a very great job, but they did it. And so it was a very, very hard life. So when the son was old enough to get married, he did. And that night, Yan Yu said to Zhuangzi, as they laid in bed together in each other's arms, if you hadn't saved me that day, Zhuangzi, on that snowy day, I never would have ever found happiness, the happiness I have today, now mm-hmm. that our son is getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And Zhuangzi replied, you are my pillar. Without you, I would have accomplished nothing. So the next day, Zhuangzi went walking, and when he came back, Yan Yu had died.
And how old was she?
I don't know. She was quite a bit younger than Zhuangzi, I think, but who knows why. It was a hard life. You know, they were, I can't say that enough. They were very, very poor, and very difficult life.
Mm-hmm.
So Zhuangzi cried and cried and cried and cried. Mm-hmm. So later that day, Hui Shi, Zhuangzi's best friend and often a guy he used to have these arguments with,
mm-hmm.
came by and Zhuangzi was banging on a drum and singing a happy song.
Mm-hmm.
And Hui Shi thought, oh no, Zhuangzi went crazy because his wife is dead. So he asked Zhuangzi, are you okay? Your wife has just died. And he said, I'm very happy. Thanks for asking. Hui Shi said, why? You loved Yan Yu. And Zhuangzi said, because we lived a very, very hard life and I know that Yan Yu is in heaven now and things are much easier there. And one day I'll see her myself. So I'm happy for her that she got away.
Mm, so, that's a special way to sing about that.
It is. And the first time I was told that story by Jing Jing, the way she told it is that he was grateful that he knew her at all.
Mm.
Because before he met Yan Yu, you know, he had an okay life. But she definitely made it much, much better. There's a similar story that Liezi tells. Back in Wei, there was a man named Dong Minwu.
Mm.
His son died, and he didn't cry at all. In fact, he went and got some baijiu and drank a bunch. And the guy who sold the alcohol said, man, your son just died. Why aren't you sad? And he said, before, I never had a son, and I wasn't sad then. And then I had a child, and now he's dead. So the situation is just like before.
Yeah.
He said, what's there to be sad about? I just went back to how life was before my son.
Mm-hmm.
And Lieta would say that people who get through suffering with peace of mind are often misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And people, outside people think they're crazy.
In China, we have one saying said, 百善孝为先, means the love. And the son to the father is the first. So if you do not cry as a son or the daughter on your daddy's funeral, then you will be blamed and shamed by the other people. So Spanker. Yes, another story.
Meganer, yes, I will tell another story. This is a story called The Stupid God of Thunder.
Okay.
I'll be quick. There's this guy who is working out in the woods, and he always puts his lunch to the side as he works. And when he went to look for his lunch, it was gone. And so it happened one day. He thought, well, that happens. And the next day, he went to look for his lunch, and it disappeared again. And so he finally figured out there was a snake eating his food. So one day he hid and followed the snake and went into this cave. And found a whole cave full of snakes and was gonna kill them all because they're eating his food, you know, and he'd been going hungry. It was either them or him, we say. One of them has to die. And so the snakes said, let's pray to the God of Thunder and to kill this man, get him out of our cave. And the God of Thunder listened to the snakes without asking any questions and started throwing lightning at the man. And the man's like, hey man, you haven't asked my side of the story. you know, these guys are eating all my food and I'm dying of hunger here. And the God of Thunder, I think, just ignored him. But eventually, the God of Thunder, I guess, realized it had made a mistake. And he hit the man, by the way, with lightning. He got hurt.
But so he died?
No, he didn't die, but he was hurt awful bad.
Oh.
And so the God of Thunder finally destroyed the cave and all the snakes in it. But it made an impression on the man that, yeah, the God of Thunder has no sense of justice. He didn't bother to ask questions. He just not very wise, as he thought. And this story is really referring to people in power. They often react without inquiring.
Just like my boss?
Just like your boss. Just like some people in the government. You know, they think they know best, and sometimes they don't take the time to ask all the questions and find out what really happened.
It's time for another mystery Taoist from Western countries.
Right. This is from the Tao Te Ching, 27. The wise man is all the time helping men. He certainly doesn't turn his back on men. And from the West.
Yeah. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give.
Okay, this is from the Tao Te Ching, 66. The wise man, in order to be above the people, must speak as though he was lower than the people. In order to guide them, he must put himself behind them.
From the West, surround yourself with the best people you can find. Delegate authority and don't interfere as long as the policy you are decided upon is being carried out.
Okay. And another one?
You can accomplish much if you do not care who gets the credit.
This is from Zhuangzi. The people are the most important element in a nation. The state is the next. And the leaders are of the least importance.
Protecting the rights of even the least individual among us is basically the only excuse the government has for even existing. And I have always believed that we were each of us put here for a reason. That there is a plan, somehow a divine plan for all of us. I know now that whatever days are left to me belong to him.
Him being God. The people are difficult to keep in order because those above them interfere. From the Tao Te Ching, 75.
The ruling class is not the solution to our problem. The ruling class is the problem. Leaders tend not to solve problems, only rearrange them.
Okay, and this is from the Tao Te Ching, 75. The people starve because those above them eat too much tax grain. Mm-hmm.
The problem is not that people are taxed too little. The problem is the American government spends too much.
Spanker?
So do you know who that was?
Reagan!
You know, most people don't know this, but Reagan killed Reagan.
Oh yes, I agree.
I'll tell this very quickly. We were giving a lecture on the Tao in the West. Somehow it came up about Reagan being shot. But Reagan said he had died.
Reagan,
and
you're dead.
And all the crowd went, "Pusher, pusher." It's like, no, he didn't die after he was shot. After it was over, somebody came up and said, "Reagan, how could you kill Reagan?"
I'm sorry.
Okay, we're not gonna say goodbye.
So do you have anything to say?
You idiot.
Yay! Zaijian!
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to learn more about Taoism, you can check out the Big Dummy Tao Club on Facebook, which is facebook.com/BigDummyTaoClub. In the Corner, Back by the Wood Pile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.